I'm going to point out your greatest problem, your tongue. The book of James warns all Christians, be careful what you say. And so I have just a little bit of advice that I've put at the top of this page that I've given all of you. Say less. Listen more. If you say less, even if everything you say is bad, at least you'll say less that's bad. We as people talk. And we talk and talk and talk. And we say things sometimes that are not true. We say things that are bitter. We say things that are critical. We say things that hurt other people. One piece of advice I want to give you from the beginning is, say less, listen more. The problem is, all of us are old enough to remember what other people have said to us. And we remember what they said 5 years ago, and 10 years ago, and 20 years ago. And that hinders our relationship. I want to give you a little bit of advice and say, remember less, love more. Now, people are talking, and we're talking, and people will say things that really bother us. And maybe they're wrong. Take time to answer. Answer slowly. Sometimes if we answer too quickly, there's a problem. Every word that we say needs to be accurate. But not just accurate, every word needs to be fitting. You see, we as Christians, we believe that we are citizens of heaven. And I want to encourage you, I want to remind you, as citizens of heaven, we belong there. That is our true culture. That is our true society. We're living here on earth as pilgrims, passing through this area. When other people meet with us, what comes out of our mouth should betray our identity in heaven. If we sound just like them, they'll think we're one of them. But if what comes out of our mouth is a bit different, if it has an accent of heaven to it, they'll say, you're not the same as us. How are you different? I have a few points, 7 points here, and I want us to look at a few of these verses. Let's look here in James chapter 1, verse 19. In very few words, he sums up the way we should always speak. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He didn't say, never say anything. No, we are to say something. But don't speak too quickly. He didn't say we're never to be angry. No, wait. Understand what the other person actually is saying. Understand what he's meaning. If we misunderstand the person and then rebuke him, we're wasting our time. We need to understand fully what that person is saying, and then we respond. Now, there is a problem in our society, everywhere. People talk and 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 talk. And now we have more ways of talking. We don't just talk to people we can see. We now have the telephone. We now can talk over the internet. And we know how to write. We can write letters to everybody. We can write emails even faster. We can use all kinds of social media. And there is so much talking, it's easy for problems to develop. I want to warn you, say less. Saying too much can cause all kinds of trouble. First, understand the person and then speak. I like what Proverbs 14:23 says, talk leads to penury. You know these people who love to talk about how they're going to get rich, and they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and all they do is get poorer. Because talking is not going to bring in money. Talking is not going to make you wealthy. Just sitting there talking actually makes you lose money. But I also want to say, even though I'm warning about talking, I want to say that silence can be dangerous also. When something righteous needs to be said, when some correction needs to be given, when some instruction needs to come, if we say, well, I'm just going to be quiet, we miss an excellent opportunity. We do not meet our responsibilities. So on the one hand, I want to say, talking is good, but don't talk too much. Silence can be good, but it's not an absolute good. There are times when silence can be dangerous. So, in balance, let's look at point two. Ephesians says, we speak the truth in love. That's two challenges. It's easy to speak the truth and not do it lovingly. It's really kind of easy to be loving and not speak the truth. And I watch many people, and I can categorize the people I know. There are those people who know how to say what they mean, and they frighten you, they scare you, they hurt, and you don't want to hear what they have to say, even if they might be right. And there are those other people in my life who say, see, they're wrong, they're harsh. And so I look at them and say, well, how would you say it? And you know what they say to me? Oh, I wouldn't say it. Well, of course, if you're quiet, you're not going to offend anybody. This doesn't say be quiet in love. It says speak the truth in love. So to find someone who's able to be here in the middle, who is taking the responsibility to say what is right and what is good and what is helpful, what is true, but yet doing it in a way that expresses that he is loving, that's a hard balance. But this is our goal. Our goal is not silence. Our goal really is not harmony. Our goal is speaking the truth, but also loving the other person. In our modern society, people like to tell a lie. They like to hide the truth. There are people who lie to their own families. They lie to their friends. But can I say something? I have found that some people want us to lie to them. They don't want to face the truth. So as Christians, I want to encourage us all, number one, we want to desire to hear the truth. And if you're desiring to hear the truth, and I'm desiring to hear the truth, that motivates both of us to speak the truth. Now, there is this challenge. There is this challenge. Some people say, well, I just tell the truth. I said it to him, and I just said it harshly. Whoa! You're allowed to speak the truth softly, aren't you? It doesn't say you have to shout. It just says speak the truth in love, right? Don't lie. We've put off the old man. We've put on the new man. The new man is one that loves truth. And so we speak the truth to each other. Lying is a problem. Tons of problems. Number one, if today I lie to you, tomorrow I have to lie again to cover up today's lie. And then the next day I have to lie again to cover up the first day's lie and the second day's lie. And after a while, even I may forget what the truth is. If I tell you the truth today, tomorrow I can say the same thing. The next day I can say the same thing because it is true. Now people complain. And when they complain, they're trying to tell us the truth. They're trying. But many times when they're trying to tell us the truth, they'll exaggerate. Well, you're always late! No, I was late 3 times in 1 year. But notice how they say, you're always late! If you have to tell someone the truth, don't exaggerate. If you use a word like always or never, the person listening only hears that word. What you mean is, you've been late 3 times and I'm annoyed with that. That's what you mean. What you say is, you're always late. What do they hear? I was on time 20 times. I was late 3 times. You have no understanding. So we have to be careful when we say something negative not to exaggerate. Otherwise, we lose our audience. That's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes. That's why the Bible tells us, don't flatter. Just say what is true. Don't exaggerate. Don't even exaggerate what's good. Don't exaggerate what's bad. But you know what I find? Because I have to talk also. It's a lot harder to be exact with my words than to exaggerate. It's much easier just to say, you're always late. It's a lot harder to say, do you know, in the past 2 months I've noticed you've been late 3 times. That's harder to say. But we as Christians, what we love is the truth. We want to say what is true and not just what makes us feel better. Now there are people, I don't know where they learned this habit, but when they complain about someone and they criticize someone, they will call the person a name. You pig! Or maybe they have another name. Please don't call people the names of pigs, dogs, or other animals. Because if you do, you might have to apologize to the pig. We people are bad. But it doesn't help to call people names. And you read things on the internet, I read things on the internet, and people will throw words around. Why, that's crazy. Why, that's stupid. When I hear someone use that word in a sentence to me, I stop listening. Well, if you think I'm stupid, you're not even listening to what I'm saying. Because I may be wrong, but I'm not stupid. So we have to be careful not to use these words, even if we're saying something negative to someone else. Now, I put in here, don't use verbal violence. And I have to admit that in my life, the people that are in my life use verbal violence. They use words to tear down the other person, to rip the other person. And I hear that, and I am horribly pained. If someone were to use physical violence, we would all say that's wrong. But the person thinks that if he uses verbal violence, that it's not wrong. I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm a human being. I think if somebody hits me, my body will heal faster than if someone uses verbal violence and my heart has to heal. Today we're talking about the tongue. Be very careful never to use verbal violence, because people remember that for a long time. My third point is to edify the other person. And I want to be very careful in defining the word edify. Edify does not mean tear the person down. What does edify mean? Build the person up. I met a person one time, and this is exactly what she said. I was just shocked when she said this to me. She said, I help other people. And I listened. I help other people by telling them what's wrong with them. And I sat there in horror. She's not edifying people. She's tearing them down. And I have met people who say, you know, I'm really an astute observer. I can find fault anywhere. I think we all can. It's easy to find a mistake somewhere. But we all know, even in the areas that we are most talented, it's hard to find a solution. If you ask me to go through the UK and go to bridges and point out problems with bridges, I could have a good time. I don't know anything about bridges. And I can find problems. I can find a crack here and there. But if you ask me, how do you fix it? I have no idea. If somebody who knows nothing can find a fault, my point is, it's not hard to find fault. The goal is to build up the other person, not to point out his errors and faults and flaws and tear him down. Well, that takes more work. You have to stop and think, how can I say these words to this person to actually add something to his life? What strength of his can I underscore? If you underscore somebody's strength, he will focus on that and develop that. If you tear down what he's doing, he'll never do it again. Years ago, I was in a church, and the pastor told me, see that man leading the service? This is the first time he's been willing to lead the service for 5 years. And the pastor told me, because 5 years ago, he led the service and the visiting pastor made fun of him. And so 5 years he refused to participate in the service that way. Think through what you're saying. Maybe to you it's a joke. Maybe to him it's not a joke. The strength of the joke is not in the skill of your mouth. The strength of the joke is in how he hears it. Pause. Is this word building him up or is it tearing him down? Number four, you have to say the right words. That's very important. But you have to say them at the right time. You have to say the right words, and that's good, but you have to say them at the right time. If someone is talking to you, and then someone else comes to you with a message, your attention is divided, and if it were me, I don't hear either of them, but maybe in your case you hear at least one of them. That's the wrong time. If you have something important to share with someone else, make sure the person is not busy, make sure the person is not hungry, make sure the person is not tired. Otherwise, his response may be kind of negative, or he may not respond. The right time is also very important. Proverbs 25:11 talks about appropriate words, and it's a very poetic way of saying it. Apples of gold in pictures of silver. If you say the right thing at the right time, it's that beautiful. But if you say it at the wrong time, maybe the person won't hear you. Maybe the person has no idea. Maybe he'll misinterpret you. And maybe there will be a battle. Up above, I said, speak the truth in love. But we have to be careful how we talk, not just what we say. We have to use a wise method, and the Bible expresses this as always with grace, seasoned with salt. It's not enough just to say yes or no, stop it, go here, go there. We have to explain what we're meaning. There was a family that especially stuck out to me. I was just very, very impressed with how they trained their children. Because whatever the children were doing, the parents would use complete sentences. They didn't just say the name of the child. Billy, 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 Billy. Well, poor Billy has no idea if that's good or bad, but they would use complete sentences. Please come sit down. Please lay that toy down. Then the child knew what the parent was meaning. How we say things makes a big difference in how people hear us. One father told me his secret in correcting his child. Instead of speaking more loudly to get his son's attention, he spoke more softly. And then he had his son's attention, and it didn't sound like shouting. How we say things makes a big difference in how people will interpret what we're saying. One time, I used this page, and I got up and I preached on the tongue, and I finished, and afterwards a woman in the congregation came up to me. And she said, "Well, given all the things that you've said, what can we say?" And I thought, "Uh-oh, lady, what have you been saying all your life?" Let me tell you what we can say. Let thanksgiving be the norm. I'm going to tell you about two ladies that I went to church with 20 years ago. The two of them were the oldest ladies in our church. One was probably 90, one was close to 90. The first lady, when she would just walk in the church, you looked at her, you said, "Oh boy, she is really old." Everything about her body looked like she was just very, very, very old. She was hard of hearing, she couldn't see anything. And when you would say, "How are you doing?" she would say, "Praise the Lord. Oh, just so good." But if you sat there long enough and actually got to know her, you found out there were some problems in her family. And to show you how serious those problems were, when she passed away, we contacted the family and they said, "Oh, we're not having a funeral." And that hurt us. So we weren't the family. We weren't allowed to have a funeral. So we had a memorial service in her memory. Of course, it had no relationship to her family because we loved her. But it really made us understand the problems in her family, that when she died, they wouldn't even have a funeral for her. But how was she every Sunday? "Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord." And after every service, everybody would crowd around her to talk to her. The second lady, she was almost 90. If you said, "How are you?" she'd say, "Oh, I'm in pain. Oh, no, I have so many problems. Oh, no," you wouldn't know. And after the service, you hardly saw anybody talk to her. Now, both of them had difficulties in their lives. I knew both. But the one had an attitude of thanksgiving. If we compare ourselves to the people who have more things than we do, of course we're going to complain. But if you look around you at everybody around you, I think you'll be able to find a lot of people who don't have what you have. And I don't just mean money. I mean everything. Look at what God has given to you. Not just spiritually, also physically, also in relationships, also in just what you get to enjoy every day. Why do we Christians pray before our meals? Food is plentiful here in the UK. Very plentiful. You can almost have the attitude of no gratitude because there is so much food. But we Christians stop before we eat and we say, "No, there may be too much food out there, but I'm going to stop and thank God for this food." And that's a discipline that we Christians practice. It expresses our gratitude to God, But it also reminds us, this is what your life should be like. About everything. Thank you, God, for food. Thank you for people we know. Thank you for opportunities. Thank you for all that you've given to us. Let thanksgiving be the norm of your life. Now, point number 7, I like the book of Ecclesiastes. It's full of very practical wisdom. And there's a verse there, Ecclesiastes 7:2, and when I came across it many years ago, it really struck me. It says, the words that other people say, don't put into your heart, or you'll hear your servant cursing you. Today we don't have servants. But if we did have a servant, wouldn't that really, really get under your skin? You're my servant. Why are you criticizing me? I'm your master. You should speak nice things about me. But are we surprised if servants complain about their masters? We're not surprised, are we? But if you always listen to what people say about you, the day is going to come when you're going to be surprised at what you find out people have said about you. And Ecclesiastes warns us, forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. What people say about you behind your back, forget about it. Forget about it. If you put all those words in your heart, you'll never be happy. Forget about that. They didn't say it to your face. Just ignore it. Ignore it. In the book of James, it warns us how dangerous the tongue is. Just words. Today we like to talk about freedom of speech. It's my right. Well, it may be your right, but it's also your right to be wise. If you say that, will it actually help anybody? Well, I just say what I think. Okay. You may pay a price for that. About 7 years ago, I knew someone, and he was telling me some things that he believed. And as calmly as I could, I said to him, you need to be careful about that. You're going to pay a high price for saying those things. He said them to me in private. I warned him. 2 or 3 years later, he mentioned the topic to me again. I said, be careful. 2 years after that, he wasn't careful. He lost his job. I had tried to warn him. He could have chosen to stop going in that direction. They were just words. But now his life is messed up. It's just words, but no, words are very important. And there is a lot of power in the tongue. We say the pen is mightier than the sword. Do you realize the power your tongue has? You look at the people around here. Your tongue has power to help these people. What you say can influence their world. If you say something negative, oh, there's a cost. If you say something helpful, there's a benefit. Many, many years ago, someone taught me, let me teach you how to keep from saying something that you don't want to say. First, you have your teeth. Grit your teeth together, and then the words can't come out. Secondly, take your lips and squeeze them together, and then the bad words can't come out. Third, take one hand and cover your mouth. Fourth, take the other hand and cover the other hand. You have 4 defenses against saying something you shouldn't. Can I tell you? I have tried it, and it doesn't work. Do you know how to keep from saying what you don't want to say? Don't think it. If you think it, it will come out. I have freedom of thought. I'm not hurting anybody. No, if you think it, it will come out. So that's why we as Christians, we focus so much on the heart and mind. Fill your mind with thanksgiving. Fill your mind with truth. Fill your mind with blessing. Fill your mind with praise. If you fill your mind with good things, guess what's going to come out? Let me tell you what someone said to me one time. I was logging onto the computer, and I had to type in my password. And I made a comment about something. And the person said, "Oh, does your password have to do with that topic?" Because what he was saying is, if I typed my password, that would trigger a thought in my mind, and then I would say something to him. And I'm glad it wasn't. It wasn't linked. But I thought that was very interesting, that he gave me that warning. When you type in your password that enters into your mind, it sparks something. And then what comes out of your mouth? What you've been thinking about. And then people know what your password is related to. What you think is what's going to come out of your mouth. So we as Christians, we don't say, let's have teeth gritting practice. Okay, let's all practice gritting our teeth. Let's have lip squeezing practice. That doesn't help. What do we Christians talk about? Fill the mind with what is true. Fill the mind with what is kind. Fill the mind with what is good. And then that's what comes out. Let me ask you. What do you talk about? What do you talk to other people about? What do you say? What do you pray about? What is your mind filled with? I would like to back up a step and say, if you fill your mind with that which is good, it's going to make it easier to control your tongue. I live in Taiwan, and I live alone. And I know the dangers of living alone. Because your mind starts thinking. And it may start at a very good place, and it starts going. And so what I do, I purposely, throughout the day, fill my mind with what is good. Because if I don't fill my mind with what is good, my mind will find something else to think about. And so we as Christians are proactive. We understand what kind of person we are. And we say, I need to put in good things. I read scripture. I read Christian things. I read other good things. I listen to good things. So that what goes in will eventually come out. Think about your tongue. Look at the very bottom. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Today we're focusing on word, right? Normally we focus on deed. Today we're focusing on word. When you say these things, can you say that you're saying them in the name of the Lord Jesus? Think about your words. Let's pray together. Oh God, we come to you knowing that you have spoken to us and you have spoken truth. Help us to speak truth also. You've spoken to us words of love. Help us to speak words of love. Help us to know the best times, the best ways to take this truth and share it with others. Help us to build them up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.